Let us pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for Your Word. And we thank You, O Lord, that You have come down to us and speak to us in a language that we can understand. We pray, O Lord, that You would bless Your Word to our hearts and lives. Make it living and active in us. And may we, O Lord, see the glories of Your grace in our Lord Jesus Christ and be renewed in vigor to serve before Your face with joy and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And we'll begin reading at verse 1, but our text will be verses 2 through 4. It's not a completely natural break in the text there. Should probably go to verse 5, but as you'll probably see, we're going to run out of time just through that verse 4. Although my wife did tell me I get an extra hour of preaching today. If I go long, blame her. That sounds like somebody else I've heard of in the Bible, I think. But anyway, that's probably not a good thing to do. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. Grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we are finally taking up our new series once again in 1 Thessalonians. And last time we saw how Paul greeted this church, that he, along with Silas and Timothy, we're greeting those who were united in and with God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That they were living and drawing their life from God in Christ. We also saw that they were recipients of a divine blessing. Grace and peace was continually being bestowed upon them from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. They enjoyed all the gracious gifts of God given to us in the Lord Jesus as He has earned them for us by His death and resurrection. They also enjoyed the peaceful and harmonious relationship with God because of this all-sufficient grace that was given us. This is the divine greeting that was given to them. Do not forget that this is the divine greeting that is given to us. All who believe in Jesus are always warmly welcomed into God's glorious presence with these words and the heavenly realities that they describe. And I'm tempted almost to just preach over those words again because I don't think one sermon really does them justice. But I don't think I'm as good of a preacher as Martin Lloyd-Jones, who could preach three sermons on two words from the Bible, so we'll keep moving on. But we are a blessed people. But as we look at our passage, we are reminded that these glorious gospel realities are reflected in the life of the church. And we should rejoice in that as well. Something that Richard Sibbes, the Puritan, talked about that I had never really given thought to, certainly not to the extent that he did. But in Psalm 27, and the elders and deacons will know where I'm going with this, but in Psalm 27, verse 4, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible, David says, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." That's the chief desire of the Christian's heart, is to see God, to see His glory. We saw that with Moses on Mount Sinai. He asked to see God's glory. And sometimes we think that God's glory is a far and distant thing from us. But as Richard Sibbes points out so wonderfully and a lot more length than I can give you now and here, we see the beauty of Christ at work in His church. And we mustn't forget that. There is beauty in the preaching of the Word. There is beauty in the sacraments. There is beauty in God's people coming together for corporate prayer and singing and giving of offerings. These are all things that are given to us that reflect the glory of our God and His work in us, the church. But also as God's people coming together in faith, in love, and in hope. These are reflections of Christ's work in the church. And as we think upon God's work here, in this church, it should fill us with the same emotions that filled the Apostle Paul and Silas and Timothy. What does he say at the beginning of verse 2? "We give thanks to God always for you all." Not just the ones we like the most. Not just the people that have the same similarities of, you know, commonalities of things that we like, and the people that are easy to talk to, and all of those kinds of things. No, "we give thanks always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." Imagine that Paul, Silas, and Timothy, as they prayed for this church. It's an amazing thing, really. They didn't have to pray that they would turn away from false teaching. They didn't have to pray that they would turn away from certain widespread and serious sins. Paul does talk later about wanting to grow them up in the faith still. They still need to be more mature, as all Christians need to in this life, that's for sure. But we learn a very important lesson from the Thessalonian church here. If we want to be an encouragement to other Christians, and we want to shine brightly the reflected glory of Christ, which is what we're called to do. Right, children? How's the song go? "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." We are supposed to reflect the light of Christ. If we want to be that for each other and for the watching world, we must be strong of faith, acting in love and patient in hope. Some of you know what it's like to have family members or friends that have rejected the Lord and are living a lifestyle that is actively destroying themselves. When you pray for them, generally, at least in my prayers, thankfulness is not something that comes readily to my mind. Instead, my heart is broken for them. They're not an encouragement to me unless I see great change in their life. Instead, it's a source of sadness. And I bring that up only in this morning to contrast that with what we see in this church in Thessalonica. Just think about how encouraging this church would have been to the Apostle Paul as opposed to the church in, let's say, Corinth, which was full of all kinds of sin and heresy and all kinds of things. Paul even says that some of the sins they were guilty of, even the world looks upon and says, that's too far. And yet, this church here in Thessalonica is a real encouragement to the Apostle Paul, because they are full of faith, and that faith is an active, working faith. And their love is active. And they are patient in hope. And so, as we begin this morning, would we not also want to be so encouraging to each other and to Christians from around the world? Should we not, as individuals, but also as a community of believers, live our lives in such a way that we live our lives in such a way that when others think of us and when others pray for us, they give thanks to God, seeing His great work in us, for the blessing and encouragement that you are to them? And I dare say that as a church, over the years, we have certainly been that. We have had people come here, thankfully, from all over the globe. Come here and be blessed and encouraged. It's a wonderful thing when we have students that come here from South America to the Asia Pacific. And yeah, sometimes because of other school or work or wherever, they have to go away from us, but they always want to come back. And it's not just because Kelowna is a nice place to live. But they love this church family. That should be a real encouragement to us, to know that we are a place, we are a people, where the light of Christ shines brightly. We should be encouraged by that. That there are vacationers that come here year after year, and they love coming to this church to be with us and worshiping our God. That is a true testament to God's work in and among you. You are an encouragement. You were an encouragement probably without even knowing it, but especially in that word that I don't like saying too much, but that COVID era, to bring us back. Ooh, don't want to go back there. Anyway. But you were an encouragement. You probably made a lot of pastors jealous when I bragged about you. But you were an encouragement during that time to Reformed and Baptist churches around the city, province, and country, and continent. You probably, as I said, you made some pastors a little jealous, but you were an encouragement that unity in the church is possible even in difficult times. That loving respect for one another could be had even when we disagree. This was and still is a place where the love of Christ is present and active. And it is a real joy of mine. And I hope you know that. It is a real joy of mine to serve among you, and you are an encouragement to me and to my family. And so as we think upon what the Apostle Paul says to this church, to the Thessalonians, I want to encourage you. Keep up the good work. And let us continue to mature in faith, hope, and love. But let us dig a little deeper into what exactly that means for us. How exactly the Thessalonian church was such a great encouragement to Paul and to the church throughout the world. Faith, love, and hope. The order is a little different than 1 Corinthians 13, so if I mess up the order, it's just because of memorization in my head. But faith, love, and hope are the order of things as Paul gives them here. And the three things that Paul mentions here glorify God and are a blessing and encouragement to others. And as we look at these three things, we notice that they all have a description. Work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope. So we'll see how those descriptors help us understand faith, love, and hope. And also keep in your mind that these descriptors are also proofs of their faith, love, and hope, that they are real and genuine. And then there's this important connection that we also have to see here, and we can't lose sight of this either. The phrase in the second half of verse 3, in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father, does not just refer back to hope. The faith, love, and hope of the Thessalonians is from and is grounded upon the Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. And so we'll look at all three of these things in that light. First, looking at faith. The faith of the Thessalonians was a true faith. And it showed itself to be true because of the good works that the Thessalonians were doing. We see here that Paul and James are not at odds, but certainly are in complete agreement. Faith without works is dead, says James. If an apple tree bears no apples, what's it good for? Nothing but firewood. Maybe to smoke some lovely roast on or something. Brisket, maybe. But that's it. It's not a good tree. It's a bad tree, and it's a tree that's either unwell or is dead. Well, as Christians, we remember that we are grafted into the tree of the Lord Jesus, or we're the branches that are grafted into the vine. And if we are united to Christ and His life is flowing into us, we will bear good fruit. We will do good works. And that is a proof to ourselves, but also an encouragement to others that our faith is genuine. When Joanne died earlier this year, it was a real blessing to me, but I think to all of us, that we never had to doubt her salvation. I never doubted it. Do I or any of you actually know what was going on in her heart? No. But I and many of you saw the fruit. There was a strength of faith in her that all the powers of hell or of this world could not break. For she was and is united to her Savior and her Heavenly Father. Many of you have this comfort with many loved ones that have passed on. And this is what we all must strive for. That yes, we would believe, but we would also show our faith in the way that we live our lives among each other. That we would be a real encouragement to others around us. That we would have a strong faith in the Lord, not just an intellectual faith, not just say, I believe the right things, but say, because I believe this is true, I will live as though it is. We actually have sometimes a problem with that, don't we? We disconnect faith from life. But what we actually believe about our God and the gospel should influence every aspect of our lives, from the thoughts that we think, to the feelings we feel, to the things that we do. If Christ is Lord of our lives, that doesn't mean He's only Lord in church. If we believe Him to be our Lord and Savior, He is Lord and Savior of all of our lives and of all of ourselves. And if that is true, it will be unmistakable. People will see it. Now that doesn't mean that we all have to go out and do some great acts of service. We don't all have to become missionaries. But rather, that because we believe in our triune God and the salvation that's been provided in the Lord Jesus Christ, that means that we are going to seek to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. And if anyone seeks to do something great, let him first excel at something small. The next thing that the Thessalonians encouraged the Apostle Paul was their labor of love. The love that they had as a community was not just a nice, cozy feeling. They were actually doing acts of love for one another. They were calling and texting each other to see how they were doing. I see you're all awake. No, they weren't doing that. They didn't have cell phones, sillies. Come on now. But they were checking up on one another. They were being hospitable to one another. Really caring what was going on in each other's lives. And then when they saw a need, they sought to meet it. When they saw someone needed a friend, they became that person's friend. When they saw that someone was rejoicing, they rejoiced with them. When they saw someone was mourning, they mourned with them. And when they were in a moment of difficulty, they didn't just have self-pity. This is something we've got to get. We've got to get it in our marriages. We have to get it in our church family. We all have a tendency, not just because of woke culture, though that certainly doesn't help. We all have a tendency to play the victim card. Why are man colds so bad? Right? Why are they worse than women colds? I don't know. It's just because probably we're looking for a little sympathy. Right? But we all do that. Naturally, in different ways. We all play the victim card a little bit. My day was bad. And yeah, your day was bad. But, you know, mine was harder, you know. Don't you know? I mean, look at all the things I had to go through. And we do that. But we can't. That's not being loving. But part of the reason we do that is because we don't trust God to love us when we need to be loved. And we're also not really trusting other people in the church to love us when we need to be loved. So when we are hurting, when we're feeling lonely, when we wish we could have somebody that would come out and reach out to us, we can't sit back and wallow in darkness. Those are the moments, more than any other, in which we have to say, I am loved. I am loved by God, and my God is with me now, and I will go and love others. Because every time we play the victim card, you have to know this, every time we play the victim card, we are incapable of loving other people. Because you are blind to everyone else's pain and suffering, and you're focusing only on your own. So, back to faith. Do you believe that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is sufficient? Do you believe that His love for you is personal and real? Okay then, that's going to change how we act toward one another, and it's going to mean we love one another. And I say that to encourage you. I have seen that in action in this church. So I don't mean to say that to discourage you. I only say that to educate you. This is what we must do. As God's people. You have been doing it. Let's keep doing it. Let's do it better. The third thing that we see, well, before we get there, my wife did tell me I have an extra hour, so we'll go back a little bit. But part of this love that we are also supposed to have for one another is also a commitment to one another. We live in a day and age in which church membership as an idea is falling by the wayside. It's discarded as meaningless old tradition. Or simply that we just live in an age where people don't want to commit to anything and so the church just panders to that. But brothers and sisters, think about the love that your God has for you. It is covenantal. It is committed. It is faithful. And if that is the love that our God has for us, our love for Him and our love for one another should reflect that. And so we need to take the vows that we made when we made profession of faith seriously. that I am committed to following my God. And I am committed to loving the church. And we should live our lives in such a way that everyone else here and everyone else in the community knows that is what we believe. Knows this is how I love. It isn't whimsical. It isn't temporary. I love in a way that is patterned after the love of my Savior. That when they look at the way that we love, they see something of Jesus. Remember, true biblical love is a committed covenantal love. May we grow in that. And then the third thing that Paul mentions here is patience of hope. Now that may sound like a bit of a strange English construction, and it kind of is. But hopefully you're wondering exactly what does Paul mean by that. Well, it's really quite simple. Whenever the Thessalonians endured hardship of any kind, they patiently endured it, knowing that they had a sure hope in the Lord Jesus. They were not like the Israelites in the wilderness, that as soon as something hard came, they just started complaining and grumbling in unbelief. Rather, they cried out to the Lord, trusting in Him, and kept their mind on the surety of their hope and their final destination. This is a church that was persecuted severely. This isn't a church that had an easy go of it. Remember what we read in Acts. Some of them were thrown in prison for the faith. You can understand how encouraging that would have been to the Apostle Paul and to every Christian. They're not panicking. They're not afraid. They're standing firm. Because they have a hope and they know that that hope is certain. There's a funny scene in the movie Chicken Run. Highly recommend it. Great kids show. Anyway, that's a Rosemont family favorite. It's all about a chicken farm and they're egg-laying chickens, and then eventually they come to discover that the farmers are going to change course, and they're going to, instead of letting, you know, collecting measly profits with collecting eggs, they're going to make chicken pies. And the leader of the chickens, Ginger, finds this out and tells all the other chickens, and they're going, we mustn't panic, right? And then Ginger, in a moment of great hilarity, says, "Now ladies, let's not lose our heads." And then they all go crazy, like chickens when you walk into the roost and you're trying to catch them, and they just go nuts. Lose our heads, right? They've lost it. They're panicking. Well, that's a bit of a scene of what can so easily happen. We saw that. I hate to bring up the COVID thing again, but why toilet paper? Right? But everybody panicked. And so there was no toilet paper. Or bottled water. What a thing. You know, you can just turn on the sink, but no, we need to stock up on bottled water. But that scene in Chicken Run is a helpful understanding for us, and even as we went through COVID, it's helpful for us to see how panic and fear can spread so quickly. But in those moments of crisis, how comforting it is when brothers and sisters can stand together in the sure hope of the gospel, patiently bearing whatever may befall them. They were patient in hope. And thus we must be in our individual lives, but also as a church community. And so it should be our desire to grow in our faith, grow in our knowledge of the sure hope that is given us in our Lord Jesus Christ. Not simply because it is good and a blessing to us, but also because it is loving to everyone else. Have you thought about that? I wonder how much we've thought about that. That us growing in our knowledge of God and our love for Him and our faith in Jesus is important, not just for us, but also for the church. Because we want to be an encouragement. And all three of these things, faith, love, and hope, are, as I said, a direct result of their union with Christ and adoption as a child of the Father. When Paul, Silas, and Timothy looked at this church, they did not merely see people. They saw Jesus at work in them. And thus they concluded of this church that they were brethren, they were beloved siblings, and were confident of their election by God. May we be in prayer continually for one another and prayerful for ourselves, that we would be a people that are a real encouragement to each other and to our brothers and sisters around the world, that when they look at us, when they think about us, they would see Christ and His glorious work in us. That all would confidently say, Grace Reformed Church in Kelowna is full of siblings in Christ. I know of their election. They have faith, love, and hope in and for our God. And the evidence is in their work, their actions, and their patience. Amen. May God help us in this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the gospel. And we pray, O Lord, that You would help us to live lives that are worthy of the high calling that You have given to us in our Lord Jesus. Help us to live as saints. Help us to live as Your children. Help us to live as brothers and sisters of Christ. Help us to live according to Your mercy and grace. Help us to live in such a way that when others look upon us, they see Christ at work in us. Help us, O Lord, in these things. For we know we cannot do it in our own strength. We need You. Be pleased, O Lord, to work powerfully in our lives. And whatever tie may hold us back, would You please cut it and let us run. Let us run this race with endurance, knowing the hope that is laid before us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.